B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli's show, 4 o'clock hour, brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop, great jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landispc.com, and they bring us our next guest, who joins us every Friday from 4 to 5 with his wisdom on all sports, not only football, but the NCAA tournament, where his Villanova Wildcats came up big against the always tough St. Mary's Gales. Brian Westbrook joins us. Hello, B. West.
Michael, are you not as excited as I am about Villanova winning yesterday? That was a tough game, tough matchup for them. I know it was a weird one. They should have won the game, but I think it's always tough when you're facing a school like St. Mary's. So I think
why is it always tough when you're facing?
Because they're a tough matchup. You know, they play good. They play solid defense. They play solid throughout the game. And for us, we haven't beat them very often. And so it is a tough matchup. That's why. And what happens when you're Villanova, you tend to overlook St. Mary's. Yesterday, we did not allow that to happen. We won the game and we move on.
All right, how far do you think this team can go? I mean, you got your finger on the pulse of this team. Right?
I when you compare talent, compared to last year and a couple years ago.
Not even close, right?
No, it's not even close. No. However, they still have heart. They still are well coached. They play good defense. And if they can get hot, then, you know, they can win a couple more games. But when you talk about the best teams in the tournament, you know, talent-wise, they're just not there at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think they'll win another game, and after that, anything after that would be a bonus.
All right. Let's talk some football now. Yeah. Shall we talk some football?
Absolutely.
All right. The Eagles added Vinny Curry. I know you talked about that a little bit before. He was available. Good depth selection.
Well, I mean, yeah, I talked about it before. It seemed pretty obvious that they don't have a problem with bringing some guys back at low-end contracts. Mm-hmm. And Vinny kind of fit that bill. I think, you know, I had no problem with bringing Vinny back when you're adding that type of depth. Vinny is a good guy. He's a guy that can help you against the run and against the pass in some ways. I just don't know if they'll get the same type of production out of Vinny as they got out of a guy like Michael Bennett last year. He had nine sacks.
Yeah.
I don't know that Vinny Curry gets you nine sacks.
Yeah.
I think he'll get you some hurries. I think he'll push the quarterback around, but I think you need the sacks. I think when you look at this team, when they won, they were built on getting to the quarterback.
Right.
They had a rotation of guys that had the ability to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Vinny was a part of that. I just don't know that they have the frontline guys, the starters and the depth, to have that type of impact on the quarterback that they did a couple years ago.
I got you. All right. Otherwise, what kind of a week has this been for Philadelphia sports? The Sixers beat Milwaukee on Sunday. Wednesday night beat Boston. I know you were watching that game. Bryce Harper hits a couple of home runs. It's been a pretty good week here, B.
I think it's been a really good week. I think when you talk about Philly sports, at this point, you know, with the Sixers, I think we're in the mode of let's just get to the playoffs. We're ready, and we know what we can do. We beat some teams that we will face in the playoffs in this past week. And so now we're trying to gearing up for the playoffs. We're trying to see, from my perspective, they're trying to figure out what the exact roles of each player on that basketball team is going to be. And, and it appears to me that Jimmy Butler is now – solely the finisher. He's the guy that's going to touch the ball in the fourth quarter more than anyone else. And when it comes down to the fourth quarter, he's going to run the basketball team. Now, my big question about the Sixers is that if he's so good in the fourth quarter and he's able to run your team in the fourth quarter, why wouldn't you want to be up going into the fourth quarter? So that means he runs the team throughout the rest of the game. That would be my big question. But, you know, I'm going to let Brett Brown figure that out. You mentioned that Bryce hit a couple home runs. That's always good to see. You paid him more money than I could ever think about. And so, of course, you're expecting that. And I think when you talk about all those things combined, and you add Vinny Curry, you add a couple pieces here for the football, this is a good week for the city of Philadelphia, for sure.
All right. Sounds good.
Let me ask you, I didn't get a chance to ask you this about your college. But before we got off the college basketball, who did you pick to win it? Did you go with Duke like everyone
else? North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I think North Carolina is going to win it. I like the way they're playing.
Okay. They always play together pretty well down the stretch.
Yeah, they really played well. I mean, Duke had to go the extra mile to beat them in that tournament there. So.
That's right.
But let's get back to the Sixers and what you think these two games did. As a professional athlete, when you beat a certain team that you've struggled with, it gives you a lot of confidence in the locker room, and you kind of remove that kryptonite thing. And Boston had this kryptonite thing. Milwaukee was a big test, and Brett Brown coached it where he had extended his starting team, which is the best part of the team, extra minutes to make a statement. How helpful was it to win those two games, and what does it mean for the playoffs coming up?
Well, you made the most important thing. You said it, to make a statement. To make a statement to his team as well as the other team that, listen, when we go hard, when we want to win a game, we can go out there and win. And, of course, they played on their home floor against, I'm drawing a blank now. They played on the home floor, but yeah, the Celtics. But listen, I think they can still go on the road and win a game. And we continue to see Joel Embiid be unstoppable. He said it in the interview after the game that he's the most unstoppable player in the NBA. And the way that he continues to play, when he wants to be unstoppable, he absolutely is. But when you talk about sending a message, you're saying to your team, listen, guys, I expect, not that we can win, because we already know we could win. Mm-hmm. I expect to be able to beat this basketball team. We have the talent. We have, the big four. We have, and you add J.J. Redick to that. We have guys that in the depth as far as off the bench to be able to compete. Why wouldn't you expect that? I think this kind of sends a message to the basketball team that says, listen, guys, there's no more playing around. This is our opportunity. And if I'm Brett Brown, and I don't know that coaches ever say this, but if I'm Brett Brown, I'm mentioning, listen, you guys are playing for contracts. You know, some of these guys are on one-year deal. I'm playing for my job. I'm coaching for my job. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that. I'm coaching for my job. If we don't get out the second round, and then, you guys are going to have a different coach in here, and it's going to be a different story because maybe that next coach doesn't baby some of the players on this basketball team. So these are all expectations for this basketball team, things that they should be thinking about as they go down this stretch and head towards the playoffs.
All right. Then the one thing that's been underplayed is this backup quarterback situation. A lot of backup quarterbacks have been sucked up around the league free agency-wise. I thought the Eagles would go out and grab one. Now, Miami went out and got Fitzpatrick because he's got a start for them. But are you comfortable with Nate Sudfeld as the backup to Carson Wentz, or should they do something else?
I'll say this, and I think that there is a bigger problem than just the backup quarterback. I think the Eagles have to do a better job at developing talent. One of the reasons why you go out get DeSean Jackson, one of the reasons you get Vinnie Curry and Malik Jackson, and you're talking about trying to figure out a way to bring back Chris Long. And I think if Michael Bennett was a guy that, could work a little bit better inside the building or in the locker room, he probably would be back as well because he had the production with the 9 sacks. Mm-hmm. You do all those things because you're not developing talent very well. You're not either developing talent or you're not drafting well. And I think you could make the argument that both of those things that the Eagles have been lacking. And you talk about a second-string quarterback, you have to develop that type of thing. You don't want to be going out and paying $7, $8 million to a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to do that. You want to be able to develop the talent. They've had Nate Sudfeld in that quarterback room for a year or so now, and he should be ready to play if he's talented enough to play. We shouldn't be in the market for going out to find a backup quarterback every single year. At some point, you have to develop the talent and get better. And that doesn't only sit with the quarterback position. That goes with the wide receivers. That goes with the backup offensive linemen. This team is a very old football team. And when you start talking about building legacies over time, that means you have to draft well and develop talent. At this point, I haven't seen the Eagles do that very well. And I think that just kind of crosses right over into the quarterback position. If Nate Sudfeld isn't the guy, then you have to go pay another guy. And that costs money. Why would you ever want to have to do that if you haven't developed the talent in that quarterback room thus far?
All right. Let's go to the phones. A lot of people want to talk to B. West. Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ed?
Mike, how are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Real good. Thank you. And, Brian, it's great to be on the line with you. Your career was great. I think that what the Eagles need is a guy like you that could catch it out of the backfield and turn it. I'm not too worried about that quarterback thing.
Correct.
Well, I think if you talk about the quarterback, you have to be concerned about Carson and some of his injuries. You have to be concerned with Nate Sudfeld, who hasn't played very yet. That's why Mike brought it up. That's why the Eagles are going out and potentially looking for other backup quarterbacks, because he hasn't played very much, and we haven't developed him to the point we have a lot of confidence in him. But when you go back to the running back position, again, I think Doug wants to play with the running back by committee. That's not my style. That's not what I would want for my offense. But I think in the draft, they find someone that can catch it and run it out of the backfield. There's no doubt in my mind that they do that.
I would love to see that again.
All right.
I think it happens this year. I mean, I think they wanted to do that last year. I certainly could have made an argument to find a way to make a run at the running back up there in New England, Sony Michel. I would have tried to make a run at him, because I think he's a quality back that can get you 20 carries every single game and catch the ball out of the backfield. But, I mean, yes. I think they'll find a way to try to get a running back in the second round this year for sure.
I think it needs more addressing than the other, but that's just my opinion.
That's how you protect your quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly how you protect him, and probably extend that running back's career a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right, what do you want to say about the Sixers, bro?
Sixers, great win. Statement win. It didn't, as far as the Bucks went with me, I didn't really care that much about beating them, but, boy, I wanted to win that game Wednesday. And Joe is the man.
You know what this win did? I mean, I think the Celtics had bullied the Sixers. Mm-hmm. In that series last year, they bullied the Sixers.
Yeah.
Up and down the floor, they Embiid got beat up by Horford, which he should never get beat up by Horford. Mm-hmm. I think Ben got bullied by Morris just a bit. I think this game, we talk about statements. I think this game was a statement that says, listen, we're not going to take it anymore. I'm not the little brother anymore. There was a point where my brother, he's 5 years younger than me. There was a point where I would beat him up just to make him tough, as older brothers do. There was a point where, you know, we're 21, 22. I'm at this point, I'm in the NFL. And he said, listen, you're not going to beat me up no more. He's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. And all you can do as an older brother is respect that. And I think this was a respect, an opportunity for the Sixers to gain some respect from the Celtics. And I think they went out there and found that respect.
Beautiful. I like it. All right, so the brother stood up to you after a while.
Yeah, he stood up.
It was the end.
He said this is the end.
B. Westbrook dominance.
Well, I had to beat him up a couple more times because it wasn't actually the end, but you know, it's the story that counts.
All right, let's go. Story that counts. Taddy at the Boulevard. What's up, Taddy?
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man?
What's going on, man?
Not much. We're having a great time here in Philadelphia. I don't know if you caught it, but UC Irvine pulled out that win.
I saw it. UC Irvine's my squad, baby.
Here's a little quick.
Are they the Anteaters, UC Irvine?
They're the Anteaters. They're covering spread. That's what they do. They eat ants and they cover spread. So here's a little tidbit for you. You want to know who plays on the Anteaters? You want to get one now?
Who plays?
Karam Butler's son.
Karam Butler's son plays for UC
Karam
Irvine?
Karam Butler's son.
Is that right?
Yes, he does.
Wow.
I got
a bust out for you. Because there was a guy that transferred to UC Irvine from Villanova.
No,
he was a big-time recruit at Villanova. Lloyd Mumford. How about that pull?
That's a pull. They're taking it back, way back. B. West doesn't even know what's going on.
There you go.
With that pull. So real quick, I got two quick points. The Sixers, if they play like they did the other night, Mike, we're sitting here in June and me and you are splitting a bottle of Dom Perignon on Street. If they play like they did the other night, I think you got to see what you saw from Ben Simmons, where he's aggressive, takes the ball to the basket at the end. That's a big thing. My second tidbit is, tonight, I would put my wife down on the Mississippi State line 6.5. That's what I would tell you.
Mississippi State
versus Liberty. Liberty, they're a bunch of weirdos.
Liberty.
Nobody wants that. No one. Yeah, 6.5, Mississippi State, you take it all the way to the
That's place. A violation.
You like Mississippi State. Mississippi State. I don't have any opinion on
Mike, just Mike, I'm telling you, I'll call you on Monday. I'll call you on Monday.
6.5, Mississippi State.
Where are you playing golf this week?
Liberty, 28-5, 28-6.
Where are you playing golf this weekend,
Mike? A couple places.
couple places. Yeah. Next time you get out there, you get up at Spring Mill and you hit up my boy Tone. It's a fantastic place to play.
Spring Mill is a good track. I like it. Great
narrow course. Love it up there.
Yeah.
B West, big fan. Love you, buddy. So glad to talk to you. Everyone have a great weekend. God bless.
All right, Taddy, you got it, pal.
Hey, Michael, how did you feel about the Sixers and going to Jimmy in that fourth quarter?
I was at the game, and I was frustrated that he didn't seem to be engaged the entire game. And then all of a sudden, he comes alive in the fourth quarter. It's not the first time that's happened. Now, I love it when he takes over because he's such a closer. But I'd like to see him be more assertive early in games. Like, he's a 25 to 30 point score dude for me. You know, and he lays low, and he said that he was gassed, and he's tired, and he told Embiid, just get me to the fourth quarter, I'll take over, but I'm tired, because we don't want to back-to-back, so I'll give him that kind of leeway.
I hate leeway. I just think that in this, I hate giving him leeway, because I agree with you. He is a 25 to 30 point scorer, and that's what they brought him here to be.
Right.
The hard part, and I was talking to Steven Jackson. You remember Steven Jackson played with the Spurs?
Yeah.
I was talking to him yesterday, and I was asking him, how hard is it to play with Ben? Just because Ben doesn't shoot very much. Mm-hmm. And he was explaining to me that it's really hard to play with a point guard at this point in the league that doesn't shoot. Now, as a player, you have to basically stand around and wait for him to, because he's not going to take it to the basket to shoot at this point. It's just hard for players to get comfortable with that. And he believes that that's part of what Jimmy is going through just a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, we'll say. At this point, I would like the guy to be an alpha, like on us every game.
Is he not being an alpha because of the system? Or is it because he'll be a free agent soon and he wants to?
I don't know. That's a great question. And I'd hate to think he's holding back because he wants to be a free agent.
I think it's just who he is. His career high in points per game is 23.9, and that was like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 20 piece. Right now, he's basically the same player he's always been. He just plays less minutes now because this coach isn't a maniac. Tibbs used to play him 40-some minutes, so he got more points. He's per minute, he's the same player he's always been. He's never been a 25 to 30-point scorer. It's just not who he is.
But Tyrone, he had how many points the other night? 20? 20 or so?
Yeah.
All right. So he only played one quarter of basketball, right?
Yeah,
so
15 in the fourth.
Yeah. So it's my belief that if he gets another bucket or two the other three quarters, that's 30 points right there.
Now, I don't disagree, but that's never been his thing. His whole career, even when he was playing 42 minutes a game, he wasn't getting the 25 points. It's not what he does. He's a different type of guy.
Well, that's what this team needs him to be, for them to win. That's what this team needs him to be. They need Embiid. They need Butler to get the buckets. And then they need Simmons to get 18 to 20 to win. We're talking about winning now. We're not talking about just make it into the playoffs and win a couple rounds. If we're talking about winning it, making it to the finals, he has to be that guy for this basketball team. And if I'm Brett Brown, that's what I'm screaming to him every single time that we play. You have to be that guy for this team.
All right, let's go to Steve in Atlantic City. Steve, you're on 97.5 tonight. What's up, Steve?
Mike?
Good, bud. How you doing?
Mike.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, buddy? Listen, as far as Natalie Vincente was right, she's a very beautiful woman. She makes your show go. You're a hell of a guy. And finally, the Sixers solved Boston. 17 out of 19, they beat us. They do not respect us, like Brian Westbrook said. They still believe we're their little brother. And then they're going to spank us around. But I'm tired of Brett Brown not instilling a killer instinct in the Sixers.
Well, what does that mean?
They got to be a little cockier. Like, we can't be beat. Like,
what does that mean? I need you to tangibly tell me what that means. How does a coach instill a killer instinct in a team?
Well, letting them know let them take the reins off and let them play. Let him be. Don't baby him with the minutes. Back-to-back games. He can't play back-to-back. He's getting millions of dollars.
Come on, man. You mean unrealistic. Everybody manages minutes in the NBA. It's a hard league. You're going up and down the floor. It's a lot of wear and tear, especially on a 275-pound body who's been injured.
They got a new word for it. They call it load management.
Yeah, load management. You got to load manage these guys.
Hey, Mike, down the stretch, what do you think would hurt us in the playoffs? What's going to get us over the top in the playoffs?
Well, they got to play their starters more in the playoffs. They got to reduce the rotation to eight. And and they've got to get some contribution. Like Mike Scott and Ennis have to give them a little something. But this is going to be a starting five that's going to have to play close to 40 minutes every game in the playoffs. I hope they have it.
Would you agree that Ben Simmons will be a liability late in the fourth quarter?
No, I don't believe that. I refuse to believe that because Ben Simmons has the ability to get to the basket that very few point guards have the ability to do.
They slow down. Yeah, Mike, but they don't have to play on him. They could play off him and double somebody else.
I get it, but he's still quick enough to get to the basket.
Right, I understand. Yeah. And Harper, like you said a couple days ago, when he starts hitting the ball, he's not going to stop, and he smashed two home runs yesterday.
Yes, he did.
You know, so he looks good. All right, Mike, thanks a lot,
Steve,
buddy.
You got it. Speaking of baseball, Sports Illustrated's Major League Baseball Preview 2019 just came out.
Yeah.
I guess it's regionalized, right?
Should be.
I don't know.
Sports Illustrated usually is regionalized.
It's probably regionalized.
What, the one with the Phillies?
Yeah, the Phillies are on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Name the four Phillies on the cover, Tyra.
I've seen it already.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah.
By B. West. Four Phillies on the cover.
Whoa. Hoskins.
One.
Bryce.
Two. You got them in that order so far from left to right.
Nola.
That's three in left to right order.
There's four. This is a tough one. Riamuto?
That is correct.
There it is.
B. West.
Hey.
Sweeps the board.
Digging deep, brother. Digging deep.
There you go. That's nice work, man.
I know baseball. I just don't like to talk about it because it bores me. Come on, brother.
Oh, you know, on the other side, I want to see what it is that bores you about baseball. Because you're not the first guy I've had this discussion with. All right?
I'm going to try to educate you
with the nuances of the game where you can't be bored.
Okay.
I tried to do that with Natalie.
How did that go?
It went wonderful. Natalie learned the lesson I was teaching her, and she looked for it the next time she watched the game.
Yes, I applied the lesson to real life.
Little lessons, little things that you have to pay attention to be cerebrally involved in the game.
But I don't find baseball boring.
Well, it's sports like baseball and hockey that you do have to learn these little lessons to make it interesting.
So hockey, you don't have to learn anything. Baseball, you're sitting around. You got to calculate in your head every minute.
Hockey, you have to.
Now, hockey is instinctive. You're flying up and down the ice. It's instinctive. Baseball, you're standing there. Oh, as a viewer. Forget about viewer. I'm talking about playing the game.
Oh, okay. Yes.
All right. We're back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
All right, 4:31. Mike Bisnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for an update for our Twitter polls. We share the hour with Brian Westbrook till 5 o'clock. The Twitter poll brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
I love today's Twitter poll, Mike.
Yes,
it's really good.
Especially when it comes up on the phone.
You know what? And sometimes it just takes a little bit.
Yes, it does.
Like right now for some reason. It's really just not. Hold on. Here we go.
Right,
beautiful. Over 1,600 votes today. What was the biggest thing that happened this week? 66% say Sixers win streak. 14% go Harper's homers. 17% Phil Martelli's firing. And 3% Fran Dunphy's last
game. Wow. So 17% more Martelli than Harper hitting two home runs.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I agree.
Let me get Westbrook here, Mr. Baseball. Brian West, if you played baseball, you'd probably be a base stealer, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so there's Brian Westbrook taking his lead off first base as a right-handed pitcher. What are you looking for? Before you steal that base, what are you looking for?
Well, as a base stealer, of course, you know that you steal mm-hmm. bases off the pitcher. So mm-hmm. you got to make sure that you're getting a good jump.
But how do you get a good jump?
How do I get a good jump?
How do you get a good jump? What are you looking at the pitcher to do?
I'm looking at that front leg.
Before you go.
He has to be going towards the plate. I'm looking at that front leg towards the plate.
If you're looking at his right heel.
heel? What?
Yes. You're looking at his right heel. His right heel is against the rubber. If his right heel comes up, that means he has to turn and throw the first base.
Okay. Okay.
If his right heel is stationary and his left foot comes up for his delivery, then you're gone. Okay. But you're looking at the right heel. If the right heel doesn't move, you're gone.
Okay.
Because the only way he can turn and go to first base is if the right heel moves.
Yep, he got to step off.
Right, here's the pivot. Okay. Now, if it's a left-handed pitcher, what are you looking for?
Oh, left-handed
pitcher. This is tough. This is why left-handers have an easier time picking guys off first base.
And they're looking right at you the whole time.
They're looking right at you. So what are you looking for, the left-handed pitcher?
I still got to believe it has to be that lead leg. I mean,
if you're looking at the lead leg, but where does the lead leg have to go?
Well, if he's throwing to the plate, he has to go towards home. If he's throwing to first base, he has to be up and down, right?
If his left leg crosses over his, his right leg crosses over his stationary leg, like if his knee crosses the plane of that leg, he has to throw the first base.
Okay.
If you can see daylight between the two legs, he's coming to first base. He has to go to the plate if it crosses his leg.
Oh, okay.
If you can see daylight, he's got to come to you.
Were you a base stealer when you were playing?
Well, I had some wheels.
Okay.
Yeah, back in the day, I had no wheels. In my 20s, I had wheels.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you this, and I don't know if I even mentioned this before. Now, this was during the height of my playing career, 06, 07 or so. Mm-hmm. I had a scout from the Phillies come to me and ask me, did I want to play baseball?
Of course, because you're an athlete and you're fast. They look for guys that have speed.
He told me that I can go play baseball right now. He said, there's no doubt in my mind you can go play baseball. I'm like, I haven't played baseball in 15 years. He said, no, you can go play. All you need to do is be a pinch runner and get on base, and your 40 time would take you right there. I was shocked.
All right, now Brian Westbrook's a runner on second base. You're taking your lead off of second base. Next guy hits a ground ball. How do you know when to go to third base?
Well, where's the ball hit to?
Well, that's what I'm asking. That's how you know, but what's the rule?
Where's the ball hit? Okay, I'm on second base.
You're on second base, the ground ball.
Ground ball.
Uh-huh. If the ground ball is to your left, you're gone. If the ground ball is to your right, you're not gone.
So that means if I'm on second base, if the ground ball is to the second baseman or the first baseman.
If the ground ball is to the left of your body, and the shortstop has to go to his left,
he can't possibly
get you at third. But if the ball is in front of him and in front of you, you're a dead duck because he can easily get you
third. He can get you out. Okay.
And he has cerebral stuff. Little things that make the game different than just plowing your helmet into a linebacker. You know what I'm saying?
But Mike, this is a cerebral game. That's not cerebral if you are naturally doing that all the time. If you're doing that all the time, you got to read it. That comes natural.
Suppose the ball's hit right at you.
Well, you got to beat
the ball to third base.
As a running back, you have to read blitzes. You have to read the defenses as quarterbacks. So that's cerebral. That happens all the time.
You got a couple blockers in front of you. You follow them. They hit a crack for you, and you squeeze in there.
Have you seen some of these defenses recently? They're blitzing from the safeties. They're rolling the corners over. They're doing all different types of things nowadays. It's cerebral. You have to think these things through. Why do you think we spend that much time in the meetings?
Baseball players don't go to meetings. It's semi-cerebral. It's not cerebral to baseball. All right, let's go to Steve and Brumoff. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Yo, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Steve?
Yo, man. So in regards to Phil Martelli, now, you know, taking consideration his years of service there, his age, and all he's done with the community. You mean to tell me they couldn't make him retire instead of firing him?
They asked him.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. They brought him in, according to the words that have been published, and they offered him a chance to retire. He didn't want to do that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, at that point, what were they supposed to do? They made the decision that they wanted to move on from him. Now, I don't, whether you think that's fair or not, like, I happen to like the guy, so obviously I'm going to say that's not fair, right? But I am not a St. Joe alum. I'm not a St. Joe board member. I'm not the St. Joe president. They want more success with their basketball program. And to do it, they thought they had to make a change. It happens a lot that way. You know?
Well, now it makes sense now. I mean, they gave him a chance to retire. He didn't retire, then you got to fire the guy.
Yeah, but, you know, giving him a chance to retire is telling him you don't want him anymore anyway. So it's like it's their decision that they made. Whether they ask him to retire or fire him, they just didn't want him to be the coach anymore. Now, that you can look at that as fair or unfair. He thought it was unfair.
Well, this is what I think about St. Joe's. I think they gave him a long run. We're talking about the last
24 years.
24 years. I mean, it's a long run for mm-hmm. one guy to continue to coach there. And it doesn't really happen at a lot of big schools. So I think, you know, I appreciate Coach Martelli and what he's been able to do staying at one institute for this long. But when you talk about the last 3 years, 2016, 11 wins, 17, 16 wins. Last year, this past year, 14 wins. That's just not going to get it done.
Well, but here's the thing. It's like, is it unreasonable expectations pushing against a guy who represents your university very well? Like you have to come out on either side. Like, do you have unreasonable expectations thinking that St. Joe could be better than they are?
No, my expectations are this, that we should be, if I'm the president of St. Joe's, my coach should represent the school and our principals no matter what. So I don't care.
And he does that. You know he does that. Yeah, he's a great front man for the university.
Checks that off, right? Now yes. We're going to get to the basketball side of things. I want you to win. In these last three out of the last 4 years, he's had losing records. Mm-hmm. He was 16-16 in right. 2007. He just had losing records. That's the end-all, be-all. You have to win to keep your job. I think they mm-hmm. wanted to get younger. They probably want to find a coach that can go out there and recruit a little bit better. And again, I have all the respect in the world for Coach Martelli. But this team just hasn't been very good. I mean, you look at the records, and they just haven't been very good in the last 10 years or so of the program. They want to be better. They want to be considered a good basketball school, which they were long ago.
And my question to that is that unrealistic to think that you could be better, that you can get all these great players that make St. Joe's a really good team?
Well, they had it when they had Jameer, and they got lucky
to get Jameer and Delonte West.
Absolutely. Well, they have to try to find a way to get lucky again. And you have to go try to recruit some of these guys that aren't getting into some of these bigger schools. And every year, you see Irvine. They get into the tournament. They're not a great school. Yeah. St. Mary's is not a great school.
You're right. The Atlantic 10 is probably a conference that they should be able to win.
Yeah, they should be able to compete at least in that conference. Mm-hmm. These last couple of years, they're losing record this year, 14-19. They haven't been able to compete. That's why you start to fire coaches, especially coaches that have been there this long and that have represented the school as the way that Coach Martelli has. That's important.
This is priceless, by the way.
There's Nova guys.
Before, what?
How harsh the Nova guys are on Joe's.
Hey,
the Nova guy, harsh on Joe.
That's because Brian's in an ivory tower.
We won a national championship the last two out of the last 3 years. And some could say, you can make the argument that we'll be in contention this year.
Why? You know. Because you are able to get into a plateau of better recruits.
Yeah, by winning. We get in a better plateau of recruits.
Well, by winning, by the league. The league had prestige back in the day. All that stuff.
Back in the
day.
The money. Back in the late 90s.
Big donors like you.
That's right. Big donors. new buildings.
Big donors like me. We would get no recruits. Tell you that.
All right. Now, you ready for this, Brian? I gave Tyrone the ultimate sucker bet.
Okay.
Right? Virginia was down by 12 points early in the game. Mm-hmm. At that moment, I gave him Gardner Webb and 10, which means he had a 22-point lead, right? Virginia now is up 52-41 with 11 minutes to go. That's just the easiest sandwich I've ever earned. I cashed already. They're up 11.
The game's not over.
They'll be up by 20 in no time.
Yes, they will.
Tyrone,
Turkey Diablo, my friends. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 4:48. It's Mike Mastinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic with Brian Westbrook till 5 o'clock. Let's get back to the phones. Dave in Center City checking in. What's up, Dave?
What's going on, gang?
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Natalie, you're in good shape with the two pieces you put in because Virginia and Villanova will meet in the Southern Regional Elite Eight game, and I'm almost positive whoever wins that game will go on to win the national title. So, Brian, that's 75-1 wager. My guess is you put two stacks on that. Mm-hmm. You're going to be $150,000 richer, my friend.
And I need that right now, too.
I mean,
I'm going to take Mike out to dinner. Mike and Tyrone and Natalie as well.
That's a good gesture. And logic suggests this is how it's going to play out for Villanova. Their defense is going to shut down Purdue mightily tomorrow evening. They're most likely on to play Tennessee in the Sweet 16 game. Horrible matchup for Tennessee. And like you said, Brian, the heart of the champion, the back class, the pedigree. And then if Virginia could finally get out of the way of its own shadow, they'll play Villanova for the right to go to the Final Four. Your feedback, gentlemen.
I think that Villanova's losing to Purdue in the second round.
This is what I think. I think Villanova's a good team. Again, we're talking about talent, but if they get hot, now, I mean, we got to get Phil Booth to get hot from the outside, Pascal. I mean, a lot of guys have to be hot from the outside for them to face a team like Purdue and win. We know that. And they're a long, they're a tall basketball team. They're physical as well. And so, a lot of good things have to happen, and it can. This is the tournament. It happens all the doggone time. That's why Virginia was down at the half, because things like that can happen. Now we have to continue to get better.
Two words, Jay Wright. Have a good weekend, gentlemen.
All right, there you go. Dave's a big Villanova guy.
That's right, as he should be.
All right.
You know I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
What?
And here's, I'm a little uncomfortable, and it's been going on said this whole hour. What? You know, root for Nova. Does Nova ever root for the other Philly teams ever?
Well, why would we have to if we're in the same position?
This is what I'm talking about with these Nova people. That's why it's hard to root for Nova, because if Nova was out and Temple had beat Belmont and Temple was still in it, they wouldn't be rooting for Temple.
They don't even consider Temple
viable. This is what I'm saying.
We have to be real. When was that situation ever present? It hasn't been.
It has been in years past. Stop it. Nova people never root for the other city teams, yet this other city teams are supposed to root for Nova. It's hypocritical and wrong.
No. The other people in the city that they should root for Nova because we're going to win. That's why they should root for us. Now, if we wanted to root for Temple, that would be nice, but we all know that they're not going to win. That's the difference. We're winners at Villanova. I
sent some congratulations last night out on Twitter.
I appreciate
it. And it was
that.
Pathetic. Don't thank them. Don't congratulate them. They don't congratulate you.
I said, good win, V for, or go Wildcats, V for Villanova.
There's no question about mine.
Because I'm polite.
The Villanova Nation, slightly smug. But see, Tyrone is coming from a really different plateau, a lower plateau. He's got the underdog complex because of Rutgers, which does nothing in any sport. Well,
they don't even have a basketball program at Rutgers.
Yeah, they do.
So you know where
they beat Penn State this year in Penn State.
His anger is coming from a low place.
Oh, they beat Penn State. That means they're winners.
They did.
Speaking of Penn State.
Don't even start on me now.
Don't even
move to Penn State now.
I was at Penn State earlier this week on Tuesday. I spoke at a sports business conference at Penn State.
Really?
First time there. Yeah. Really cool, but beautiful place.
Was your first time at Penn State?
First time ever. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, I guess they didn't recruit you.
That's a violation.
I guess it would be the first time you were at Penn State.
Oh, that's so wrong. It hurts a little bit, too.
Not even for a camp or anything?
Yeah. No.
No invite to Westbrook for a camp?
Nope, none of those things.
It's a shame, man. So what impressed you most about Penn State? The beauty? Happy Valley?
It was a beautiful school. I didn't get the chance to go see the football side of things, but Saquon was there. They have some beautiful...
Oh, were you hanging with Saquon?
Yeah.
Oh.
Come on, man.
Did Saquon recognize?
Yes, I was with Saquon before he got drafted at the combine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. Respect the old school players. That's how you have to do it.
Oh, I like that.
Man.
That's impressive, man. Yeah. Saquon hanging out with B.
And Saquon is a respectful young man, too.
Yes, he is.
I mean,
he is respectful.
So he's that type of guy.
All right.
That's right.
I'm glad. Did you see the Missinelli statue when you were there?
I did see the statue. They had just finished taking it out of the trash can to put it back up where it was at. The frat kids had thrown it into the dumpster again.
So
like they always
they put it up, did you bow down and kiss the feet of it? No?
Didn't happen.
All right, man. Listen, it's been a sterling hour with Ryan Westbrook on Friday. Thank you very much, B. West. Have a great weekend.
Do you want to put a little something on the Villanova game this weekend, by the way? A sandwich.
Villanova-Purdue?
Yeah.
I'll take Purdue.
And the points. Okay, I'll take Villanova points.
You think Villanova is going to be fairer in that game?
No, Purdue is.
You think so?
Yeah, of course. Might be a third seed.
Might be a pick.
I'll take that.
All right, sandwich. You got it. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys.
Brian Westbrook, there he is, joins us every Friday. We'll come back for the big 5 o'clock hour. And there's a couple open lines you can climb in right now. Whatever's on your mind. This is a wide open hour. We've had a great sports week. And we want to continue it in the 5 o'clock hour right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and ABC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.